This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor.com. FM to get started.
What's going on, Fear fans? We are here on this beautiful Sunday night to cover the latest episode of Fear the Walking Dead, Season 4, Episode 12, Alan June's story, After the Storm. We've got a reunion with Morgan coming up, and we've got some amazing news and gossip about some new characters and some old characters. Do not click away. Stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
What's going on, Fear fans? I am joined by an amazing panel tonight. We are so excited to be covering this latest episode of Fear. Yes. I'm your host, Timothy Michael, and I'm joined by my amazing panel. Go ahead and introduce yourself, you guys.
Hey, everybody. So happy to be here tonight. I'm April Wissenhant.
Hey, everyone. Happy Sunday. It's your boy, Danny Royce, here.
You guys are newest panelists. Obviously, you've met them last week, but I'm glad you guys are still around.
Yes.
Obviously, we are missing Krista. Krista, we miss you, but she will be back next week. What were your overall thoughts of this episode, you guys?
Thankful for more action tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I liked the kills. I'm kind of like, Al's sickness to me is coming a little out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
But I liked it.
I liked it too. Danny? So.
Okay, you know what? I'm a big, you know, big fan. You guys know.
Of course. Yeah.
Tonight's episode was okay for me.
Okay, you know, so you're on my page, like, last week?
Yeah, you know, I don't know what you were thinking last week, but this is not sure. No, yeah, it was a lot more action, you know. It took a while to get into it.
Yeah.
I think towards the end, within like maybe, you know, 20 minutes into it, I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like, but it was just a slow start.
Yeah. I think what I love about these episodes is when they give us a little bit more story, A, about new characters, and more backstories on existing characters, because it just makes me connect to them more. And we got a little bit more of Al's character, which is why I think they kind of introduced the whole sickness and her being like in a vulnerable state. Because, I mean, we've seen her in more of like a power kind of position lately. She's got this big truck. She's like, she's like a badass chick. So I feel like them kind of knocking her down a few pegs was just them trying to make us relate to her more. That's just my
idea.
It's so strong. Like, it's like, okay, she's good, and now she's like deathly ill, which I guess is how it would happen if we were in this world of not having any medicine or whatever, and then of course not eating. But for a second, I was like, is this how she's gonna go down?
Yeah.
She made it through.
Yeah.
She got the medicine.
At one point I thought, I was like, did she get bitten and we didn't see?
Yeah. But, I was thinking that too.
But okay.
But I was like, they've done it on The Walking Dead, but they've never done it on Fear the Walking Dead where somebody actually gets sick. They did it at the prison.
Right.
But they never done it here. And you're right, they don't have doctors, they don't really have medicine. So and you're walking around, it's this dirty.
It's
bound to get sick. But I kinda wanna start at the beginning of the episode because I liked how, I don't want to say poetic, but that's the only word that's coming to my mind right now, how poetic this episode was, because we start with June talking to John over the walkie, and we kind of end with her talking on the walkie to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to jump too far ahead. So June is obviously devastated that her and John are separated. How do you guys feel about the writers keeping the actors separated? Do you think that it helps move the story along, or do you get tired of it?
I end up getting tired of it, just because, but I understand why they have to do it, but I do sometimes, like, I want to see my people that I really want to see. Like, I'm majorly missing Strand. I'm missing Alicia.
Right.
So I don't like going this long without seeing them. Granted, you know, we're only a few episodes in, obviously. I understand why they do it, but I like it for a little bit, and then I'm like, okay, I want them together again.
Right. Yeah, the same. I like it because I understand what they're doing, and it's nice to see, like, what these people are going through and, you know, versus these people. But, I'm ready for them to come back.
Me too.
Yeah, I'm missing Alicia.
Yeah.
I always hate when they're separated because I just feel like they're more vulnerable when they're separated.
They are, yeah.
And I get, obviously, why the writers are doing it. They have to keep this in suspense. But I just need them to stick together for more than, like, 3 episodes because I'm always like, something's going to happen. And then news about somebody's death isn't going to get to the other people. It's just a whole, like this whole snail mail and telephone that, like, goes through. And I just don't like it when they're separated. So that was just I wanted to know your guys' thoughts. So thanks for clearing that up.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
The SWAT truck survived the storm, mm-hmm. but it doesn't have gas now. Obviously, that's bound to happen in a zombie apocalypse. Are you guys surprised at the connection that Al has with this truck?
No, because all of her stuff is in there. Right. You know, stuff, what is stuff at this point, I guess. But it's like, this is her, that's the ultimate protector. I'm kind of wondering why all of them aren't more into keeping this truck. Mm. Like, I mean, you have 3-4 machine guns. Mm-hmm. Nothing is going to penetrate this truck. Mm-hmm. But also, like, it is a lot on gas. You know, they have to keep finding ways to keep it going. But I'm like, if anything, just go get your camera out of it. Like, don't be so connected to the actual thing. If, like, what you want is the camera. So I knew, though, like, when she said about the medicine, I'm like, there, and we all guessed it, too. I'm like, there is no medicine in this truck.
I didn't guess it.
You didn't guess that?
No, I honestly thought that there was.
I didn't think there was. But, I mean, you have to pick and choose your battles in this scenario, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you have these memoirs, these tapes and all that stuff, and yes, it pressures and everything, but like June told her, like, these people are dead, and you have to help the people who are alive. So, mm-hmm. Al chose, you know, to go with her, so that was great. But at this point, you just have to pick and choose. Like, you have to be willing to let go of some stuff.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know?
I thought it was funny that the difference between Al and June in this. Al is very connected to her truck, whereas June is very connected to John.
Mm-hmm.
And because they are separated, she continues to watch this tape of John's interview, which I love that they always bring up these interviews, because I love that Al does it. But the battery on the camera dies, but they still have the walkie, so then we hear this voice over the walkie. Who did you guys initially think that this was? Did you think that it was Morgan, or did you think that it was somebody else?
I knew, you know, they always give us these ways of how they reconnect.
Mm-hmm.
So I was kind of guessing that it was going to be Morgan, because I'm like, they're the easiest characters to pull back together because we know that they're still in the area.
Of course.
And we know that Morgan is out there looking. So for a second, I was like, oh, it's going to be, you know, unnamed new character, the mean lady, is what I call
crazy
her.
Black lady. Crazy black lady.
Yes,
that's
definitely.
That's what I've done. Donned her as crazy black lady.
Is this a Tyler Perry movie or something? Yeah. Shit.
This is what I've donned her as. This is it.
I thought for a second it might be her, but I'm glad that it was Morgan.
Yes,
because I was getting a little like, all right,
yeah,
right, yeah. We were all glad it was Morgan at that point.
Yeah. Yes, for sure.
So Al wants to get to higher ground because their walkie's not working.
Mm-hmm.
And June wants to get to higher ground. Al doesn't want to go with her because she's sick. Sorry if I keep getting these guys confused. Do you think that it's a good idea for them to separate?
No. They have terrible luck when they separate. And I'm like, we can't have more characters.
I mean, I know. We can't have like one single person. We watched Morgan go by himself for God knows how long. But, why separate at this point? And Al was like crazy weak. By the way, like, I'm thinking, and you know, that we saw tonight, the whole water situation.
Yeah.
I think maybe Al got sick from drinking the water, but we'll get into that later.
We will, because I'm glad that you brought that up. But we definitely will get into that, because I definitely got that little, I don't know if you want to call it like
end.
A
sabotage.
Maybe. We'll talk about it.
Sorry, I didn't even think about that.
Oh gosh. I'm glad that you brought that up, Danny, though. But I want to talk about it.
My tea, like, what?
So they're trying to get to higher ground. They find a car. And what surprised me was that Al was driving.
Yeah, she's like dying. And she's like,
she was getting it.
She's like, I'm behind the seat.
Okay. You're like, okay, I got it. I was like, should you be driving right now? Like, is this? And then, yeah, I was just like, that was weird. Yeah. But we get a little, a nice moment with Al because she's, June asks her about, you know, her story and stuff like that. And she says, you know, when you spend so much time collecting other people's stories, you stop having one of your own. Do we think that's fair?
I think so a little bit, but then it's, you know, she kind of made a turnaround at the end when she's like, I'm so connected to those stories because they ultimately are my story. And even if she maybe hasn't been connecting with someone on like a personal or relationship level, these do document her travels and the places that she's been and the people that mean a lot to her.
Yeah.
I think, you know, sometimes they give us those like deep backgrounds where we know, oh, I was married or I had this person and then they died or whatever. I don't know if we'll necessarily get that from her because for some reason, I almost feel like her character has a little bit of an expiration date. Now, I don't necessarily know how it goes down exactly in the comic books with her, but I just know, or in any other form with her, but I do know that whether it be, you know, a couple more seasons, whether it be the end of this season, I feel like her character has an expiration date. People are probably going to kill me for saying that because I know everyone loves her. I kill you for that. I mean, I love her.
I love her too.
But I think that I feel like they're almost already setting us up for it because whenever they give us these like special moments with people, you know,
it's like close.
Classic doing it on The Walking Dead. Right. So maybe
they make you care about them and then they snatch them away.
Yeah. And then they get them beat over the head with a bat.
Yikes. Take it back to Glenn.
I don't know. I liked that we learned what we did about her, but I do think she has been creating her own story.
Yeah, I think that was all BS. That was bullshit. Like the whole, like, you know, believe, or you create other, you pay attention to other people's stories, whatever. And, because this is her story, you know, and I think it was used as a fact to not show, to not be vulnerable at that moment. That's what I'm saying. Sorry. because she was already dealing with the sickness and all that. So it was just another layer that will be like, okay, I'm free. I'm open, you know.
I agree with you.
And because Al doesn't play like that.
Agree. No. Yeah, and I agree with you because toward the end, she kind of has a change of heart.
Right.
But I want to get into that. So this, once again, as I donned her, crazy black lady is listening in to their conversation.
Right.
Smart.
Smart. But is it smart on their end to be broadcasting exactly what they are doing over the walkie? Because you don't necessarily know who you're talking to. We know that it's Morgan, but they don't.
Exactly.
So is that smart?
Nope.
No.
Terrible, terrible idea. You guys know who's out there or what's out there, what the potential, everything, the dangers. Mm-hmm. And I think just it's literally saying, okay, here I am.
But they have to communicate.
They have to communicate, but at this, you should do it
in a little bit more like an incognito kind of way.
Yeah. And then they have limited like resources. They have no gas. And, you know, who knows how much ammo they had, and the batteries were dying.
Yeah,
and I mean,
batteries
Morgan,
are dying all over the place.
All over the place. battery dead. Morgan actually has like people, food, ammo. Like he can voice everything he wanted, but them, not really.
Yeah. No. Well, speaking of Morgan, really quick, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, it is him that's June in the end. Mm-hmm. Oh, this is where we are, this is where we're going, whatever. Right. But Morgan also was, you know, when he was still looking for people, he was saying, I'm at mile marker 27, I'm doing this, whatever. Granted, he does have stuff and other people to protect him at this moment, but it's like they have to communicate somehow, but it seems like maybe they should. Maybe they'll learn their lesson.
Maybe.
Soon.
Obviously.
Because somebody's tracking them.
Obviously, we saw what happened.
Right.
And I think, I think they might hopefully learn their lesson. But like you said, bringing up Morgan, Morgan's trying to reach out to them. And how do we feel about Sarah and Wendell and Jim, his companions on this little road trip? Because I personally really like them.
Same.
I don't know how you guys feel about them.
I think they are just trying to get tipsy. And they're like, I want to go to Virginia where we know we have a bed and somewhere comfortable. and where we can drink beer freely.
Right.
I think that is their point.
Ultimate mission. Well,
I mean, I told you all from last week that I automatically loved Wendell and Sarah from the beginning because they're harmless. You know, they're just like you said, they just want to drink.
Yeah.
And I think we're gonna see a lot more fun with them. Also, point out that Sarah took care of that walker pretty well. So somebody's you know, either watching or teaching a little bit. So that's good.
I also want to bring up that they are actually brother and sister.
I was thinking
and
the same thing.
I want to know, is she adopted or is he adopted?
Mm.
Yeah.
I need to know a little bit more about.
Yeah,
because
I want to know their story.
Right,
I know
their whole dynamic is just fascinating.
It's hilarious,
to me.
And they really—it seems like they genuinely really love each other.
Yeah,
uh-huh, so, of course.
I mean, and clearly they go way back. Well, they're obviously brother and sister.
Yeah, I want to know more about them. The writers have me like craving more about them, and I like that. So we find this moment where Morgan, crazy black man, meets crazy black lady.
What am I, crazy black man now?
Yes.
All right, you know what?
I'm a crazy white girl.
Everyone is crazy on the show, you guys. I just love this because it's like, I don't know. I guess it's unfair for me to call her crazy because we don't necessarily know anything about her, but she's just crazy.
Don't judge her, yes.
I know. I'm judging a book by
its
cover.
Crazy stuff. Let's say that.
But I mean, she does, thank you. She does say some crazy stuff just in this moment of her meeting Morgan. She's like, you know, he's like, oh, if you need help, take whatever, blah, blah, blah. He's trying to be nice about it. And she's like, you know, I don't need any help. I'm not weak. And then she goes, you should be careful because things are tough out here.
Yeah.
Was that a threat?
Oh, yeah.
I think so.
Okay.
I mean, just the way in the way that she said it, but she could have directly done something right then. But I, you know, at some point it's like, there's no use in killing everyone. You know what I mean?
You mean she could have done something to him right
there? Yeah, like if she meant it in a like really threatening way. I definitely think, you know, she sees this man walking around with a stick. She probably is like, you need to be careful. You don't, like, you can protect yourself. But also, like, I'm after these people.
Right.
I'm going to go full crazy. And I thought for a second, I was like, okay, she's going to be a bad character, but maybe she can turn out to be a good character, and then Morgan can have a love.
Come on, no. Let's not even do that.
She's pretty. I mean, she has mud on her face, but she's pretty. I was, and Morgan needs, like, a little something-something.
Not her.
All right.
Not her. We got plenty of options.
The other options, not this show.
Right.
That's true.
No, yeah, she, I think it's totally a threat. It was, she has a plan. That's the whole thing. Like, it's not that I want to kill you right in here, right now. It's that I want to kill you my own time, my own turns, and this is how I'm going to do it.
She's
and
in the long game. So,
yeah.
She's in the long run, which makes her a bad villain.
That makes her terrible.
Makes her, like,
it because you're really actually, scary. Like, plotting this. You're taking your time. I'm like, who has time to do what she's doing right now?
Exactly.
Like, how do you know what? Do you have, like, trackers on these people? How do you know where they're going to be, when they're going to be there?
It's the walkies.
You have to have a purpose.
That's right. Yes. Thank you.
Yeah.
So, just bringing up Danny's point earlier, we see her filling up these water bottles. And at first, I was like, is she filling up the water bottles to fill them up? But then I was like, no, that water's really dirty.
Right.
Something's going on.
Right.
Here's my question, though. If Al is affected by what's in the water, why isn't everybody else, such as June? June is with her. They're both drinking the same water. Why is only Al affected?
You know, have we seen them get water out of one of the boxes, though?
Hmm.
But,
and she said, like, we're out of water.
Right. I don't know. Well, they were drinking. Weren't they drinking the same exact bottles? I don't know. Say me if I'm wrong, but they are also they have come across the boxes because they were like they questioned Morgan, have you been leaving these boxes?
Yeah.
So they came across it. I would assume you would grab some water because that's the first thing I would grab. And you know, it just affects people differently, just like how, you know, some bacteria affect me differently than you. Like I just think maybe it affected Al in a way that June was resistant to it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
And I think maybe she has, like, some sort of health issue that
right.
we probably this, won't get into. But
exactly.
the fact that she was like, I haven't eaten, or this has been a long time since I've been this hungry.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe she has diabetes. Maybe she's gotten diabetes. Like, there's no one to diagnose her at this point. So it could be something like that. But I think it's got to be a bacterial something which comes from dirty water.
Right.
Yeah.
All I know that was a setup.
Because of how sick she is. Like, she went from 0 to 100 real quick.
Right.
Yeah. Well, because she's so sick, we find out that somebody took the SWAT truck, which is ultimately what Al didn't want in the first place.
Yeah.
But it happens, obviously. It's Fear the Walking Dead. Writers are going to give us some suspense.
Yeah.
And then this crazy, like, car chase happens, which I honestly wasn't expecting because I didn't expect her to be able to chase the truck in her condition.
Well, so, like, what's she gonna do? She knows this truck like can't be shot down. So are you gonna shoot your own tires?
Follow what's it? Like, I don't know, but I wasn't expecting the tire to blow out. I thought that she was gonna like pass out and then it was gonna crash.
Yeah. Oh, okay, that would have been good. Yeah, I was thinking that. I was like, oh my god. But she was getting it, like she was flooring it. Yeah. But I don't know what her thoughts or her plan was, but she didn't really know. All I know is she wanted to get what was in there.
Yes. But then she fools June into going after it herself, thinking that there's medicine. Now, you kind of touched on it earlier, April. You said that you didn't believe that the medicine was in there in the first place. Mm-hmm. I honestly thought that there was medicine in there because if we remember from the first few episodes that we met Al, she was pretty much hoarding everything in that truck.
Yeah.
Because she gave a lot of supplies to Madison when she met her, like the ramen and whatever. So I thought that she honestly had the medicine in there.
I guess I just knew at that moment, because she had said it earlier, that all she wanted was the truck. Mm. And because this has never come up before, and we had John be so sick, and, you know, he got a gunshot wound. I can't imagine her not offering up some Cipro or whatever the other one she had. After he just had a gunshot wound and they're cleaning it out, you know, in a non-sterile environment. Mm. So I think I was also kind of thinking back to that. But no, she just wanted the truck. She you could almost like see it in her face. She's like, where do you think I have it?
That's not fair. Well, it's crazy because I actually thought there was medicine.
Yeah.
But then when she got there and started looking, I'm like, there's no medicine.
Yeah.
There. And then I was just like lost all hope. But then I'm like, that's kind of crazy though, because what if like there were so many obstacles in June? I would have been pissed.
What if she died? Right.
Well, I want to talk about that really quick because we meet new character Quinn. We find out his name is, but we don't know him at the time.
Yeah.
And what I loved about this moment is that everybody, I don't know how to put this, everybody starts somewhere.
Right.
I feel like every time they meet a new character, it's like, okay, we don't know who you are. We don't know how dangerous you are. So it's always, you're on this other end. If we don't know you, you're always going to be on the bottom of the totem pole. Mm-hmm. And they address it in this moment, which I really liked because it's true. You don't, if she brings him back to her new group, he's going to be on the bottom. Like, that's just the facts.
Right.
And I like how it turned so quickly. Like, they didn't really keep us in suspense about this because June is pretty quick on her feet because she got that gun real quick. But then it's like she doesn't want to extend the courtesy to him that he didn't to her. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, she's sitting there going, oh, well, you know, we could work together, but then she doesn't want to work with him afterwards.
Mm-hmm. I think it's that the fact that he said he didn't, obviously. And then when someone's like unwilling to drop the gun from your head, how do you, then the situation turns around and you're just going to be like, okay, we're cool.
Right.
Yeah.
So she went a little like hard on him, but it's also like.
Hard? I don't think she went hard at all.
No. Really? You think she should have killed him?
No, I mean, not kill him, but I mean, what'd she do? Just hit him? Like, that was pretty much it, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, he was literally there, like, forcing him about to shoot her. And. Like, she tried everything, like, to just be humane with him, but he wasn't doing it. So, I don't know if I would have brought him back because, I don't know, it's one of those things you just have to be there and listen to your gut because, like, if you do bring him back, he could be a hazard. Mm-hmm. Not only, like, is he on the bottom, but, like, is he going to do this again? Like, you know.
Yeah. How do you trust him right off the bat?
Exactly. But I always find that there are strengths in numbers, and I feel like... Yeah. But like Danny's saying, you don't know this guy. You literally just met him, and he had a gun to your head. So it's
and wouldn't put it down.
I
was like, you wouldn't put it down.
I thought
he
was going
to.
What's
it going to take?
Out of it.
Oh, that's how I was like, he's definitely just going to kill her.
That's what I'm like. Because, what is it going to take? You know?
I don't know. Yeah, something crazy, I guess.
I was really surprised that didn't go a different way.
Yeah,
but we'll talk about it. Danny, do you have something?
Yes, I have a little something for you all. Happy Sunday. And for my AfterBuzzers out there, our network produces after shows for nearly all your favorite TV shows, from drama, reality TV, sci-fi, and so much more. But we need your help. So by subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that's tailored made for you. And you'll help AfterBuzz continue to grow. So hit that subscribe button now and... watch this channel, and check out all the other AfterBuzz YouTube channels as well. Thank you so much, guys.
And don't forget, you guys, if you are watching us on YouTube, which I hope you are, give us a thumbs up. Give us a comment because we love interacting with you guys. Make sure you also follow at AfterBuzzTV on Twitter. And if you're listening to us on iTunes, make sure you give us a 5-star rating.
Five.
Because we love 5 stars. Well, we're all stars.
I've been having trouble with the chat tonight, so I apologize. But
okay, so
it's not working for me.
Maybe no fan shout outs tonight, you guys. Yes. But we do appreciate you guys. We love you. Back to the episode because that's what we're here for. Because I want to talk about the separation thing again, because we see what happens with Al once Al and June are separated, and Al almost got bit by a walker.
Yeah.
I feel like they kept us in this like limbo kind of with her this entire episode. First she's sick, then she's going to get like eaten by a walker. I was like, what's happening? So I think there's definitely foreshadowing.
Yeah.
What you said earlier is that I think she definitely has an expiration date.
Oh yeah.
I think that it was so funny to me. I literally like laughed when it happened because I'm like, she doesn't have enough energy to reach for the walkie, but then this walker comes at her and she is just like,
well, at that point it's like fight or flight, like for your life,
right?
But I was like taking my hats off to her because I'm like, oh, I was just imagining like when I have the flu, you know, just think of yourself when you have the flu, like you don't want to do shit.
No.
You know, it's like, and it's like you gotta fend off a zombie. Like what? But like that was awesome. She was boss on that.
Apocalypse prob.
Right. I mean, seriously though. Like apocalypse world problems. Right. That's what we've got. So June is obviously really upset that Al made her go after the bus and there's no medicine. We touched on it. I would have been pissed too. But then at the same time, after hearing what Al had to say and why she wanted, and once again, just more backstory on her, you know, she wants what's in the truck, not really the truck itself.
Right.
And we find that out later on in a few moments when she actually goes with June instead of staying behind with the truck. Mm-hmm. But I honestly don't blame her. She's worked the entire zombie apocalypse to gather these stories. Yeah. And if you think about it, these stories are her. They might not be her voice, but it's what she did. Mm-hmm. It's like her purpose.
Yeah. Right.
And for her to just leave it behind, I don't think I would either. Would you?
It's not going to be an easy thing no matter what. Like, it's like we were saying earlier, at some point you do have to just
pick your battles,
pick your battles, let go. If you're in a position where you're just not going to get it back, maybe continue looking for it. You know, everyone has a purpose and everyone's trying to make it somewhere, but I would never guess that it would be easy for her to just be like, okay, bye. You know what I mean? So I think she kind of went about it in the right way. I'm happy that she ended up going
Definitely. Yeah, I would have, I mean, it would have been hard for me to leave it behind at all. But at the same time, I'm like, okay, how can I survive? And like, how is this affecting someone else? Because like, people can use Al. Like, she's valuable.
Yeah.
You know, like, so if she were to like, you know, just leave, like, that's not doing the group any good. So.
Yeah. I also think that she went with June because she realizes that her story is not just one part. It's not just through other people. It's through herself, too. And I think June really hit it on the head. It's like, you can't really help people if you're dead.
If you're dead, right.
So I think that's ultimately why she went with June. And I'm with you guys. I'm glad that she did. Mm-hmm. They go to meet Morgan. Morgan's just broadcasting where they are.
Marker 27. Highway 365.
Highway 365.
Hey, we're going to go there afterwards. Let's go meet up. And we meet Wendell and obviously see Wendell, Sarah, and Jim. And they're tired of waiting.
Right.
Yeah.
But they do, and we have a reunion of Morgan and June and Al. And obviously, June just wants to know where John is.
Yeah.
And obviously, they don't. Obviously, we're going to find out that next episode. But I love what Al says when she goes, oh, I love new people. Al just wants stories, you guys.
Yes.
She
is in it for her own purpose.
I love it.
Yeah.
You gotta admire the girl.
She's
just so goal-oriented. She's like, oh, look, new people. I'm going to get their stories. Right. That's all she wants.
Yeah. That's her purpose. You know, when you find something to live for, especially in these times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then just to bookend the episode, we have June over the walking. Now, she feels guilty about what she did to Quinn, who we find out that's his name. And I wasn't expecting him to walkie back. I thought he was gone. I thought he was gone.
Yeah.
And it was nice to kind of see that there, I want to say that there is hope. Obviously, that hope was crushed real fast.
Yeah.
But it was nice to kind of see that people still would be willing to go and meet you. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
It's what keeps the show going.
Yeah.
You know, every now, obviously, we have to have the villains, we have to have the zombies, we have to have whatever. But what ultimately makes this such a good show, and it's the same with The Walking Dead, is that they give you every now and then a little glimmer of hope. Now they do like to crush it.
Oh yeah,
pretty immediately. But that's what's ultimately going to get them moving somewhere else, or you know what keeps them moving for a purpose, anyways, because they meet someone who. You know, a lot of times they run into people that are just psychotic and want to kill them, but then they run into someone every now and then who actually is a good person. Mm-hmm. Even if he, I mean, no matter what, it's rarely going to start off that way where you just happen along someone and they're like, hey, keep on moving, keep on moving. Like, that doesn't happen often in this show, but I was glad to hear him kind of turn around because he had so, like, given up, basically. And I mean, I actually was like, oh, we're going to get this new character because he seemed like a legit dude. I guess he technically is still a character.
Technically,
Even just not in the...
not exactly, Well, speaking of villains, we find out that Crazy Black Lady, and if anybody's offended by this, I mean it in the most, the safest way possible,
okay.
Guys. I'm not trying to offend anybody, you guys.
Once this goes off.
But if you look on IMDb, she actually doesn't have a name. She's just known as Filthy Woman. So we probably will start calling her that. But we find out that she is the new villain. She uses walkers or zombies to kill people, and then she leaves messages on them. What is your initial reaction with Filthy Woman?
I don't know. Like, I don't know what the purpose is to writing on their face, because the first one that we saw anyway, she had written the message that they wrote on the boxes.
Take what you need, leave what you don't.
Exactly. And this one, and I couldn't really see it at first, but she wrote...
People you know.
Mm-hmm. So... I don't really know why she did that.
I think it's a message. I mean, because she's clearly using him as a purpose to go after these people, right? And so people you know
are people he knew.
Yeah. I think that was a message, but I don't know. I could be wrong.
I think you know what? We'll save it for predictions. How about we save that for predictions?
Yeah, let's do it.
But I do want to point out that in the end, she does say you aren't going to be weak anymore, which is why the title episode was named Weak.
Right.
Because she has this weird fascination with weak. So I'm thoroughly fascinated with this character. I want to see where they bring us on this journey with her. I'm curious to see her. I want to go into our segment really quick, our favorite kill segment before we go into news and gossip. So favorite kill segment, you guys. Who was your favorite kill this episode?
You go first.
Oh, man. I think my favorite kill was the car drop.
That was amazing. As sad as I am about it, my favorite kill was her, I forget her walker's name, but killing...
Oh, Purvis.
Purvis.
Purvis killing Quinn.
Because I was just not expecting it. That was such a surprising part of the episode to me. I think we all seemed shocked when they're like, no, I'm at mile marker 27. No, I am. And then I'm like, how smart is that?
I was like, this is coming.
And then it was just so out of nowhere. And it was not just a simple... It was a gruesome, you know, biting of the neck and everything.
Yeah.
That was my favorite.
I'm going to agree with you, April. I think that they're gearing us up to seeing how smart this woman actually is by using walkers and leaving messages. She's very mysterious.
Yeah.
That was my favorite kill, too, when she used Purvis to kill Quinn. And then used Quinn, or is going to use Quinn, obviously,
the
in the same way.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yes, I'm also very excited to see where, like I said, that goes. So that was my favorite kill. We've got some really awesome news and gossip, you guys. So let's get into our news and gossip section. Because we have...
AfterBuzz TV News.
April, I'm going to let you take... one of our topics away.
Oh,
go ahead.
Thank you. News and gossip tonight. Coleman Domingo, this was his directorial television debut. He did this episode tonight. And we had a picture of him with Tanya Pinkins.
Yes.
If I'm saying that last name wrong, just shoot me now. I can't decide if it's Pinkins or Pinkins.
Pickens.
But Tony Award winning actress. Obviously, she's the lady that plays
Filthy Woman.
Yes.
But he posted a picture on Twitter tonight where he was like, she's not as scary in real life.
It was
which
cute.
I love.
If you guys don't follow Coleman Domingo, who plays Strand on the show, go follow him because he does tweet some really clever things. He's pretty much, Coleman Domingo is Strand, if you didn't know.
Yes.
I love that. I thought that this episode, Danny, you said in the beginning that you didn't really like this episode. It didn't really tickle your fancy, if you will.
Just the beginning.
Okay.
Yeah, it took a little bit to get there, but after a while I started warming up to it.
But the directing was amazing though.
Right. I can give him credit. I mean, your first directorial debut is that's That's a big thing. Yeah, that's a big deal.
And I love that they let someone on the show do it. I read this article on comicbook.com where he was saying that he shadowed some of the directors last season just to kind of get the feel of it. And then they finally, you know, let him take the wand.
Yeah, there, because apparently this has been a year in the making that they were going to let him do this. And I feel, I'm a little hurt, maybe a little biased about it, because they said in the article that I read that he's one of the, obviously, the last two OG characters, him and Alicia. And I feel bad because Kim Dickens also has some directorial stuff on her resume, and I would love for her to direct an episode.
Maybe she still can.
Maybe she still can.
She's still,
writers, you better call Kim Dickens.
I know.
She obviously plays Madison, if you guys don't know the character names.
Yeah.
A little bit more news and gossip, you guys. So, Mo Collins, who plays Sarah and Wendell, brother and sister, she played Stewart's mom on Mad TV. Do you guys remember Mad TV?
Oh my God.
I love Mad TV.
And I just wanted to bring that up because I love what Fear the Walking Dead is doing with these actors and transforming them in such a way. Because if we look at Althea, who's Maggie Grace, she plays Liam Neeson's daughter in Taken.
Right.
I obviously actors go through these transformations for roles all the time, but Fear is doing it in a very interesting way, because you and I were looking at Mo Collins and we're like, wait, that's her?
I did not know that was her.
That's insane.
I even said, I was like, oh, is she going to be on the show?
It's like, girl, she's been on the
show.
Show. And then, Danny, you had some really interesting about Daryl Mitchell, who plays Wendell.
Yeah, so Daryl Mitchell, also, he was on, what did you say, Galaxy Quest. Yeah.
I'm and, like one of those cult people who love that movie.
Yeah, that, I love that movie, though, by the way. On many other films. In 2001, he actually had a spinal injury in a motorcycle accident. So that's him actually in the wheelchair.
So he actually is paralyzed.
So he actually is paralyzed from the waist down.
I think kudos to the writers for getting somebody. And I don't know if they envisioned Daryl Mitchell in this role, so they just made it as a wheelchair accessible role, or if they needed a wheelchair character and then went to somebody, an actor who was actually in a wheelchair to do the role.
It's a good question.
I hope that it's the latter.
Because it can happen both ways.
Right, and I hope it's the latter, because I feel like they could have easily copped out with having an able-bodied person to fulfill this role, and they didn't. They went with Daryl Mitchell, who's a great actor.
He's
He's amazing.
So, and he has his own foundation, Daryl Mitchell Foundation, and he's also the minority outspoken person for Christopher Reeve's Foundation.
Good for him. I'm very excited to see where Sarah and Wendell go as characters. And just let's talk about Tanya Pitkins for a second. She is a Tony Award winner. She won for Jelly's Last Jam on Broadway, but she was also on soap operas, if people know her from there. I'm excited to see where her character goes in the show. And she's been around for a while, so she has acting chops, and I'm really excited to see how they use her.
It's such a smart idea of them to do that, because we think of Negan on The Walking Dead, like
Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
You've never seen a better cast villain than him. To where literally, like, you hate him because he kills all of your people, but then, like, you also love him. I don't know that that's ever happened with another person where you literally, like,
it's a love-hate relationship.
Yeah. Exactly. It's also good that he and Norman Reedus are, like, besties in real life, because it makes me like them a little more. But I think that that's what they're doing here. Like, they really are, like, pulling out the big guns and are giving us a different kind of villain, specifically a different kind of villain than we've seen in this show. And I love that they're doing it with, like, a strong woman. Because
a strong black woman.
Exactly. Strong black woman. Go ahead.
It's typically not the people that we have seen before in that role. So I'm happy that they're doing that. And I also think they're doing it a little bit because we lost the strong woman on the show. We lost Madison. So I have a feeling I'm going to like her as a villain, which is
from your mouth to the writer's ears. I completely agree with you, and I'm glad you said that. Which brings us, with this whole mystery of this huge villain that we're kind of unwrapping here, into predictions, because I want to hear some of your predictions on the show.
And now, you're after
Better think it's up real quick. since we'll give April a little time to think. Danny, do you have any initial predictions? Okay, here's mine. I'll let you guys think. I'll save you guys for a second. The whole water bottle thing, I think that there is something behind that. Mm-hmm. I feel like she's one of those, I don't want to say religious nut jobs, because I feel like that would be offensive, even though I just said it. But I feel like she's like, what's her face from season, 1 or 2, Sylvia, who is at the villa, and she had this whole like, oh, walkers are, you know, people. I feel like hers is a little different, where she views walkers as having a purpose.
Right.
Like, they're evolved humans, and their purpose is to kill us, and she wants to help them with their purpose.
Right.
That's interesting.
Yeah. I think that's what her whole motivation is.
Yeah.
Which makes me even more fascinated. I'm not turned off by it. I think that's pretty cool.
That is.
That's just my prediction on her.
I think we're going to see some reunion soon because, you know, we get a little sneak peek of that, obviously. But I think I definitely think she's going to come at them hard, which makes me think we have some deaths coming. And that, you know, they do a really good job of kind of hiding that from us. But I think that, you know, she and Alicia, when they eventually meet, that's going to be bad stuff.
Right. Yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of reunions happening. Also, totally was thinking that, Tim, when you said about Filthy Lady, definitely that's her purpose. And I feel like the whole week thing is like everyone, like she sees everyone else as being weak. Like they're going after these boxes that are like, I'm helpless and all that. Like she sees that as weak and the walkers as being stronger. Also, that the note that she writes on their face, I feel like it's the last thing you see before you die. Like, you'll read exactly what's on their face. So it's like, the last thing you saw was, leave what you don't, blah, blah, blah. So, I think it's just going to be just crazy. I'm excited.
I love that theory. Do we think that it's a little ambitious for the writers to put this all on one person, though? Because she doesn't have a team.
I think it's great.
I think it's great, too. I think what you said was pretty on point. She's a strong black woman.
Right.
She could do this by herself.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's a little unrealistic because everybody is separated. How is she going to be in so many places at once and be such a big threat? You know what I mean?
I don't know. That's a good
question. She's smart, it looks like.
She's smart.
Yeah.
Because she's
got
them.
How did she get tape that looked exactly like that?
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, she's just resourceful.
Yeah.
You got water. You're filling up. And with the water thing, I don't know. I see something bad happening with that.
Yeah.
Like, people are just going to get sick.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think there's going to be some fatalities because of this water. I think that with Al, she got lucky.
Yeah.
I think I'm excited about her. We want to hear what you guys think. Make sure you tweet at us. Make sure you comment on the YouTube video and tell us what you guys think about our new villain, Filthy Woman.
Yeah.
Her new name is Filthy Woman. Do you guys have any last thoughts?
No, I'm excited for next week.
I'm excited too.
Because I get to see Strand again.
And now there's a clear villain. We know that she's a villain. So we get to see what happens next.
I think we're going to get lots more info.
I just wanted to read this real quick. Next episode next week we can talk about it even more because I'm interested to see what everyone thinks. So we were talking about a crossover between some of the Fear of the Walking Dead characters onto The Walking Dead this season 9, and so they said it's not impossible. After all, Morgan's mission in the back half of season 4 has been to travel back to Alexandria by any means necessary. As we've mentioned, he's already found himself in Mississippi, but at the end of last week's episode he decided to reverse course back to Texas to find his friends before going back to Virginia. We'll have to wait and see if he actually returns, but since he has openly discussed it, it is possible.
Think about
who you want to be on the crossover.
I'm glad that you read that because I'm excited. That makes me even more excited The Walking Dead, which is coming back in October, you guys. So
that is
our recap of season 4, episode 12, week for Fear of the Walking Dead. You guys, let them know where they can find you.
Yes, y'all can find me everywhere at April Wissenhant.
And you can find me everywhere at I Am Danny Royce, also on The Purge After Show.
And you guys, I am at Timothy Michael. You can find me at I Am Timothy Mike. Hopefully we'll be back with a full panel next week. But for closing this out, you guys have a great night. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.